The title is today, Getting Your Song Back. Getting Your Song Back. And it's from Acts 16. So we'll come to that in a moment. There are a lot of scriptures about singing and how that describes or how it shows where our heart is, you know, what our song is. There's songs that many psalms that say something like, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth, Psalm 96. Declare his glory and his marvelous deeds, for great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. Sing. So the message today is around that sing analogy. Sing a new song. That doesn't mean that the old ones are bad, of course, you know, and I like that we mix in old ones with the new ones. It's just that singing is kind of an analogy of expressing how we're doing and what's in our heart. And when we're challenged to sing a new song, it means don't get stale. Don't get old and grumpy, you know. Don't just stay with what has always been in your life. Sing, the word sing here is an ancient word. There are several words for sing in the Old Testament, but this one starts with kind of the image of a minstrel that goes around singing, you know, strumming his guitar, cheering up people, somebody in the park, you know. Singing and expressing joy to people. That's the word here. Sing unto the Lord a new song, a happy song, a song that expresses the joy in your heart. So, the new versus old thing just means to stay fresh. Don't get stale in your faith. So we're going to come to that scripture in a moment in Acts 16. It's a scripture about singing in jail that you'll probably recognize some of you. But first, I want to tell a story. There's a story that I think started with Max Licato. He said he got it from an article in Galveston, Texas. I guess it was a human interest story. There was a woman who had a little bird called Chippy. Chippy was a parakeet. And Chippy lived in this nice little domed cage. And her owner would clean the cage once in a while with her little whisk broom. But this day, Chippy's owner was cleaning the house with a vacuum cleaner, and she thought, well, I'll just suck up all the seed stuff on the bottom with the vacuum cleaner. So she popped off the head and stuck it in there and was cleaning. And about then, the phone rang, and she wasn't watching what she was doing. So you know the rest of this story. She sucked up Chippy in the vacuum cleaner. So now Chippy is gone down the tube somewhere. And she threw the phone down, tore apart the vacuum cleaner, and found this little fuzzball of dirt and junk, and it was Chippy. And so she took Chippy, saying, I'm sorry, and turned on the faucet in the bathroom and ran water over Chippy, and Chippy's eyes started blinking and laid Chippy on the countertop. Chippy didn't look so good then, all wet and bedraggled. And so she grabbed the hairdryer, turned it on high and fast and loud, and blew it on Chippy until Chippy was all fluffed up, you know. Chippy's eyes were glazed over, but she was fluffed up. And she set Chippy on the countertop and then took her and put her in her cage. Well, the guy that wrote this story in the Galveston newspaper called a couple days later to say, how's Chippy doing? And the lady said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. She just sits there and stares. And I thought, well, yeah, just sits there and stares. You know, I think a lot of us can relate to that story in some way, can't we? When things go wrong, we can relate to having our cage vacuumed, you know, washed off by somebody's good intentions and blow-dried and then set back up, made to look good, but inside the song is gone, you know? Things can steal our song and dull our joy and ruin everything there is to enjoy in life. Jeremiah People was a contemporary music group way back in the 70s when I was in college, and they were part of the Continental Singers. Some of you may know about them. Well, Jeremiah People was a little separate group that did skits with their music on issues that would kind of prod the church to wake up and grow up and regain their faith. And this one little skit, I remember, it was in a church somewhere here in Eugene. There was a couple sitting at a, at a table, and they were frantically flipping through their calendar and talking about upcoming events and things like taking the kids to sports and the local picnic at work and going to bowling and blessing for blessings on Tuesday and karate for Christ on Wednesday afternoon, and bustling around and how they weren't able to go to church this weekend because of sports. All of a sudden, they stopped, and the wife dropped the calendar and said, "What's happened to us? What's wrong with us?" And he said, "What do you mean, wrong?" "Yeah, we," and she said, "yeah, we used to live for the joy of Jesus, you know? We used to have a Bible study, remember, at our home, and we'd witness, and we'd serve, and life was simple." And the husband says, "Well, I think we've just gotten older and wiser." And she said, no, I don't, there's something missing. Life was simple and we've lost something. We were excited about the Lord. I loved those days," she said. And there's a long pause and a sigh, and she picked up the calendar and said, "Maybe you're right. Maybe we've just got older and wiser." Well, we're going to look at the scripture, the singing scripture, in over there in Acts 16. And it's part of the early days of the church. And Paul and Silas are disciples going around what we now know as the Holy Land, talking about Jesus. And they're all excited, and they don't care what happens to them. They have a song that they're going to sing, and it is so strong that it cannot be squashed. Well, they have just disrupted this community in Philippi by casting out a demon in this young lady who had special insights and was being used by her owner to prophesy and do things that would make him money. And so the owner of that girl that now was without the demon went and told on Paul and Silas, said, "These guys are a disruption in the community and must be dealt with." So in verse 22 of Acts 16, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten." Can you imagine that? You're just witnessing for the Lord downtown, and somebody rips your clothes off and beats you. How would that go today in Eugene? "After they had been severely flogged," that means an official beating by the police, "they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks." Now, what would you do if that happened to you? You'd demand your phone call so you could call your attorney, and you'd be outraged. What if that happened to Bruce White? The church would call an elders meeting, and there would be irate people, and heads had better roll because this is an injustice in our community. Well, here's the way the story goes. They were still in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, singing and praising at midnight in jail with their feet in stocks, maybe bones broken, bruises. And here they are saying, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Or, how about that song? Remember, Silas? "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And then you say, what, Silas? Or where? "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Where? And the other prisoners are going, what is this? Who are these guys? And Paul and Silas are singing with bubbly enthusiasm. Getting your song back. This message could be called singing in terrible circumstances, too. And I think we can all relate to that to some degree. Maintaining a joyful, hopeful faith in spite of bad situations is difficult. But you can get your song back. There are things that steal our song. You know, just a quick list of some things that come to mind. Just trouble in general, adversity in your life, things just going badly, unexpected financial problems or health issues, relationships that get broken, business things that go bad, unemployment. All of these things can be vacuum cleaners that suck us up and throw us in the dirt. Grief over loss Any loss in our life can destroy our song or make us not want to sing our song. Relationships that are lost, money that is lost, death, health problems again, any loss can affect us by stealing our song. Health issues, aging, you know, those things can get depressing and cause us to be kind of despondent and withdraw and lose our song, cause us to be cranky, in fact. Mark Twain, I like his quote, he said, "Never complain about your health because 80% of the people don't care. The other 20% are glad you're sick." Now, if you go to a coffee shop, and I like to hang out in coffee shops and do my sermon writing when there's kind of a buzz of people around and I can't help but listen in, you know, in conversations. Often the old men's group that sits at the coffee shop, half of their talk is about health problems. Have you noticed that? Now, I'm not saying you guys do that, you old guys, if there are any old guys here. But we tend to do that the older we get. We get cranky and we think people care about our problems. Well, health issues and aging can steal our song. And then there's news, just news in general. You know, there's crime and pestilence and politics and weather and fires and greed and scandal. And then there's all the really bad stuff besides. But too much of that, and we just kind of sit there and stare, you know? It's the TV syndrome by itself, but then if it's bad news on top of that, it can just glass our eyes over and make our spirit glassed over. And then there's the more serious matter of abuse. Really bad stuff happening to you as an individual. Cruelty towards you as a young person or as an older person who somebody's attacked you in some way and you've carried that around. You know, unless you deal with it and are healed, you go through life without a song. And it's a terrible thing to have no joy and no faith and no freedom because of something awful that's happened. You can change that. You can get your song back. You can get help if you've been abused, if you've been hurt in a big way, you've been crushed by other people. God wants you to have a joyful song. I read a book recently called Hillbilly Elegy. Maybe some of you have read it. It's by J.D. Vance. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list. And I always look at that list and think, I'm going to read one book on that list just to stay with it, you know? And this is a great book. Sometimes they're a great disappointment. This is a good one. Written, it's this man's memoirs. He's, I think, 29 or 30 when he writes it. And you think, 29, what are you doing writing a memoir? But it's about his childhood and his transformation from being the hillbilly in the backwoods of Kentucky and that whole culture, which he said is alive and well. Not so well. It's alive and continues to be a broken culture full of abuse and withdrawal and bad relationships and messages that you cannot succeed. You cannot get out of this. The rest of the world out there is doing fine, but we're hillbillies and we are staying by among ourselves. And he uses that term hillbilly as an acceptable phrase, and so I use it. But it's his story of how he is determined to get out of that. And as a young man, he has a few people that counsel him and tell him you can become something. And he ends up going to Yale Law School and gets a degree from Yale. And now his life is completely different than what it was as a hillbilly. But he remembers the day that he walked up on the stage to accept his certificate from Yale. And he looked out, and here's his family. Nobody had gone to college. Most of them hadn't finished high school. A lot of them had dropped out in junior high. And they were there to cheer him on. And he had this flash, like, I'm one of them. I'm not a Yale graduate. I'm not successful. And he still was tempted to lose his song, but he kept it. And in the latter chapters, he finds the church and he finds the Lord. And the book kind of closes with him saying, I'm getting really interested in Jesus. It's a great story about somebody who's finding his song. Well, then there's broken relationships and other things that can steal our song. It can be devastating and choke us and slam us into the dirt. And you got to find ways to re-find the song. Other things can steal your song, but those are some common things that come to mind as we just look at life and look at our own experience. Well, that's the end of that list, and in a minute we'll come back and talk about how to get our song back. Paul and Silas had every reason not to sing. You know, you imagine yourself in jail, you're old, you don't know if anybody cares anymore, and now you're physically beat up. You already had arthritis and a bad knee, and now they've kicked you down to the ground, and you're dirty and filthy, and you don't know if you're going to get out of this. And he has the nerve to sing and have a little worship service. You know, don't we all want that? An abiding, strong song that's ready to go no matter what happens. They express their joy and their hope in the midst of being vacuumed up and stuffed into the dirt. Maybe you're down and out. Can you get your song back? The Bible says, yes, you can get your song back. I appreciated Norm's thoughts about Rahab and how she got a song even from her dark and troubled background. A couple of Old Testament stories from 1 Samuel 16. King Saul is said to, from time to time, have a tormented spirit. Said an evil spirit would come on him and he would be tormented and he would rage and he'd lash out at the staff, I'm sure, and they would hide in the back corners of the palace. One of them came to the king and said, sir, I would suggest maybe getting a musician in here because I think sometimes music helps to trouble your spirit. And so Saul said, find one. And they found young David, who played the lyre, the guitar of the day, and David would sit and play his guitar for Saul. And it says in Scripture in 1 Samuel 16, relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Because he got a song, in this case, a literal song, literal music. Sometimes that helps, you know. We'll get back to literal music in a moment. But another Old Testament story is Judah's king, Jehoshaphat. I don't know much about Jehoshaphat, but he was a king of Judah way back. And one time he was facing a battle with the Edomites. Now, Edom was the arch enemy of Judah at the time. And Jehoshaphat was feeling very weak and incapable of going to battle, let alone winning. And so he went to the Lord and asked, help. That was kind of his prayer. Help. And so he was directed by the Lord to get some musicians together. Musicians. And so he got this group together to worship and to make music, to, quote, praise the Lord with a loud voice. That was the Lord's directive on how to win the battle. Jehoshaphat appointed, quote, men to sing and praise the Lord. And the battle was won by singing. It's amazing. It was not much of a battle. It was over pretty quick. But it was because the Lord had directed them to praise and to sing. They were reinvigorated, and they won the battle. And when it was over, they had a worship service, and they sang some more, and they hired some lyre players and flute players and trumpeters to come and make loud music. There is power to song, and it is an image of how our spirit is doing, what kind of song we have in our heart. Well, how do you get your song back when you've been abused or crushed or grieving or in pain or broken or discouraged or depressed, despondent, thinking, it's over for me, I'm just going to sit here and stare? Well, first, I guess on the list should be recognize your situation. You know, size up the situation and admit that you've fallen into despair or depression or discouraged. Identify the problem. Maybe the problem is some abuse long ago, and admit that has tainted your life and you need to deal with it. Or admit that you're just kind of in a slow slide of a stupor and admit that, identify it. And then, secondly, get some help. Get some counsel. Maybe a friend, trusted friend. Pastors, that's what pastors are usually good at, is listening to your issues and without judgment, helping you to sort through it and find your song again. Small groups often are good at this, where you can share and get the feedback from your Christian friends. Open up and share about your vacuum cleaner experience, or you're getting slammed to the dirt. You know, if your health is bad and you want to get it back together, what do? Well, you appraise the situation. And if you're really serious, you hire a trainer, you know, and they show you how to do exercises, and they coach you, and they push you, and they make it happen. But it starts with you admitting the need and making a program and getting help. Same with our spiritual and emotional life. Yeah, we can pray about it, but often that just doesn't quite heap on the accountability and the responsibility that we need to make it happen. And so we need to admit our problem and get help. And then thirdly, reprogram your mind. Somehow reprogramming our mind is the call. You know, there's a scripture that says, whatever is good and noble, think on these things. Whatever is good and noble, think on these things. You know what's good and noble and what's crummy and what's raunchy. Which are you thinking on? What kind of books are you reading to encourage? Commit to reading some helpful books. Commit to going to church. You know, it amazes me, Christians who don't go to church. You know, I have friends that, I love Jesus. He's my Lord. But they never go to church. And they gradually get into a dull temperature, a little over normal, you know, spiritually. A little bit of the doldrums. And I say, well, you ought to be going to church. And they say, are you telling me I need to go to church to be a Christian? And I'm almost to the point of saying yes. Because without the encouragement, the daily dose of singing and teaching and being with Christian friends, I don't know how people keep their song. Going to church and being reprogrammed by our reading and by what we hear reprograms us and reminds us of our blessings and the good things in our lives, so that we'll be ready for the vacuum cleaners and for the valley of the shadow of death that is lurking out there. The fourth thing on my list, consciously get off of self. I know that's tough to do. In fact, we don't even think we're selfish, do we? Well, the way to kind of monitor that is to consciously serve, to volunteer in some way, to say, this is what I'm doing this week to help somebody, to do for others. The scripture in Luke 6:38 isn't just about money when it says, give and it will be given to you. You know, if you give time and self to others, then we will receive a blessing in return and it will flow over. And we'll regain our song to the degree that we help others and we get off of ourselves and our own perceived worries and we quit having a pity party and we'll get our song back. Then another obvious one is sing. Singing is good for us. I know some of you think you can't carry a tune. There was a guy in our church at Westside, Fred. He sat in row number 6 on the left side. And we'd have these rousing songs, you know, and he'd sit there like this, looking angry. A couple weeks of this, I said, Fred, what's the deal? Why don't you sing? Oh, I like singing, I like music. And his wife had since died, and he said, but my wife told me I really shouldn't sing in public. So I don't know if he couldn't carry a tune or not, but he said, I love music, and I enjoy it, and it does lift me up. So I gave him a pass. But most of us like to sing, and singing at church does our spirit good. We know that. Singing in the shower, singing in the car. I know some of you sing in the car. I see you driving down the road singing, you know, with the radio going, and it's good for us. So, singing. One more thing, and I keep saying getting our song back. But let's assume you never had a song, or you're not quite sure what this song thing is all about. You won't have a lasting, hopeful song in your life unless you know your maker, unless you know the one who created music, and you know the singer, Jesus. Until you get right with God your Father, Jesus your brother and your Savior, and the Spirit of God who is your comforter and your helper and your guide, until you do that, then you really don't have a song. On our own, our songs are kind of temporary. You know, you can read positive, helpful books that tell you certain methods to get a song, but those songs are often little ditties that don't last, or, you know, there are a lot of things that can give you a temporary little song, a little lift in a shallow way. But our life song comes from knowing Jesus and the Father who created us all, the Father who created all this. Repenting of our selfless, songless little pity party, making Jesus our Lord, that's where the song begins to build in our life. Calvin Miller wrote the book, The Singer and the Song. I can barely remember those. I read them long ago. But it's about Jesus, the singer, who sings a message against the world hater, the song killer. You know about him. You know about that. And he offers life and a song to all who would join him. And if you join Jesus, you get a song. And it gets stronger the more you know him. If you don't have the singer in your life, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and the Father God who created you, then your life is not going to have a song. And that's really where it all starts. Well, as I preached today, as I prepared this sermon throughout the week, I thought of a song, an old song that goes way back when I was a kid at church. And Sunday night, hymn sings, you know. This is one I thought was kind of silly, but the more I heard it, the more I liked it. It goes like this, and some of you may know it. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony, a melody of love. Well, if you've been slammed to the ground or in some way harmed or thrown out, or hurt, or broken, and you've lost your song, you can get it back. You really can.